Take your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter number 6 this morning, Matthew chapter 6, and if you found your place, and if you're able and willing, would you stand with me for respect of the reading of God's Word, Matthew chapter 6, and if you're able and willing, would you stand with me out of respect for the reading of God's Word. I'm so thankful that you're here this morning, and I hope that you will be blessed by your time together with us this morning. Our goal is that you'd be able to leave from this place, say it was good to be in the house of the Lord. That's where we heard the word of the Lord. That's where we fellowshiped with the people of the Lord. And there's no place like this place. That's what we believe. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19, and we're going to read down to verse number 20. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, verse 20. And if you're joining us this morning for the first time in a while, or perhaps the first time at all, we've been working our way since, I think, December. We've been working our way through the book of Matthew. And our approach to God's Word is simply to go verse by verse, line by line, chapter by chapter, and study the Word of God and see what God's Word has for us. So we come this morning to Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19. This is Jesus speaking, and this is one of the longest recorded sermons from the lips of the Lord Jesus for us. It's a passage of Scripture that is referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus talking. And we're working our way. Chapter 5 is where the sermon started. Chapter 6, chapter 7. So here we come this morning. Chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body should be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Use it in our hearts and in our lives. This is our great request to you. Teach us wonderful things from your word. And in your Son's name we pray. And all the church said, amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. When I was growing up, our family had very little money. Anybody growing up, your family had very little money growing up? Can I see? Anybody like that? That's my hand. I didn't realize it, though. I didn't realize that we were poor. Whenever we would ask our parents for something, they would always answer, well, not right now. And that was their way of saying, we ain't got the money. So not right now. And I think their hope was that we would just forget about it. You know, like time would go by, then we would forget that we asked for something. But I will, and I do remember the day when I realized that our family didn't have any money. I mean, I was oblivious. That's probably third or fourth grade. I didn't even realize it at all. My parents never complained about it. They never fought about money. They were very good to us as kids in that way. And I remember getting in the car. We'd been invited over to some friends in the church. We'd been invited to their house. And as we load up in the station wagon, remember the station wagons and the seats that face backwards? And we were driving up the cliff, and we're going up this hill, and we're driving in these major subdivisions. I mean, these houses were huge. And I remember riding backwards in the back of the station wagon, and I'm looking at these huge, you know, houses, and I remember thinking, man, they have a whole lot of schools right next to each other. I said, Mom, why are there so many school buildings next to each other? She's like, David, those aren't schools. Those are people's houses. And I'm like, I was born in the wrong family, you know? I think the Lord sent me to the wrong house. You know, I said, what? These are houses. Like, yeah, I mean, huge pillars. I mean, massive yards, green grass as far as you could see. Just massive house, long driveways, you know. And we're just winding through these. And I'm going, man, my parents got no money, you know. What's wrong with us? And we're driving. We pull up to this house. And I remember they open the back door of the station wagon. I jump out and I look up at this house. And there are two front doors. Now listen, my house growing up, it had two doors. It was one in the front and there was one straight in the back. It was a straight shot. You know, that was it. This family had two front doors. And I'm standing, I'm like, oh, rich people have two doors, you know? Like, why do you need two doors? Because all the stuff that you're bringing in the house. I learned that, you know. Mine only one door. You just need a window. Just throw it right through the window. It's all you need. And I'm looking at these two doors. I'm like, wow. You know what I mean? In my third grade mind, these were the biggest doors. I mean, like doors on Narnia, right? Just like doors that were forever tall. And I remember walking up and I pushed the doorbell and it was like this amazing, like, ding dong dong, ding dong dong dong, ding dong 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 dong. All right, there's no doorbell. It was like, hey, y'all home? You know, it was no, look in the window and yell, you know? I'm like, wow, this is amazing. We walk in the house. We're walking through. There's like marble everywhere. There's like statues, major, huge family pictures, you know. And I'm just, this is amazing. We're walking by rooms, and I remember looking in a room, and it's all dark, and there's tables, chairs, a carpet, and it was just amazing. There were little trinkets on the walls, and it looked like nobody had walked in that room in 5 years, you know. And I walk by, what's this room for? You know? And my mom's like, shh. I'm like, what's a big room? You know, nobody's in there. And she says, that's a family living room. And I'm like, oh, wow. I was like, do they ever go in there? She's like, well, normally when they only have special company over, they go in there. We use every room in my bedroom was the family living room, you know? Like, you slept on the couch, you pull the couch out, and it was a bed at the same time, you know. I'm like, multi-purpose rooms, that's what my family had. They have a room, they're not even going in it, you know. I'm like, what in the world? We walk through this house, it's absolutely amazing house. We walk in the back, there's this cliff that overlooks the city, and they have this pool sitting there, so you can sit in the pool, the hot tub overlooked the city. Over here was a little room, it's like the pool house, you know. I'm like, they have a house just for their pool, you know. These people are rich, man, you know. And I'm looking at this, it was absolutely absolutely unbelievable. I remember getting in the car, driving home, with all sincerity in my third grade, fourth grade heart, I remember praying, God, please let that family adopt me. I didn't say that. I was just teasing. I didn't say that. I love my mom and dad. Mom, I love you. She's probably going to listen to this. Mom, I love you. You know, you were just poor, though. It's all right. When it comes to money passages in the Bible, what we always do is we always think, no, that's not talking about me. All this stuff about treasure, all this stuff about money, all this stuff about gold, all this stuff about riches, this doesn't mean me, because there's somebody, you know, more rich than I am. There's somebody with more money than I have. And so these passages, whenever we read them, we always project forward, but we very seldom ever project inward. You know what I mean? Like, we read passages like this, like, lay up for yourselves treasures, or lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, and you know, where your treasure is, there we are, be also. Don't be given over to money. And we're like, yep, that's good. Talk to all those rich people, Pastor, because they really need it, but that's not me. But can I just tell you, we are some of the richest people in all of the world. We are some of the richest people in all of the world. And when the Bible makes mention of treasure or riches or money, when the Bible makes mention of those things, it isn't just talking about people who have more than us. It's talking to us. It's talking to you. It's talking to me. It's talking to us. It's talking to us individually as families or as individual believers, but it's also talking to us corporately as a church. And so here's where it begins. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Jesus' disciples, they have a choice. They have a choice on how they will use their treasure. This is not in any way to say, don't pursue treasure, don't use treasure, don't have treasure, don't be rich. This is in no way to promote any kind of, like, live in abject poverty, because that's what God really, really wants. Spiritual people are those people. That's not what this passage is saying. Any teaching that would teach that from this is a misunderstanding of the text. The text is simply saying that as God's people, we have a choice on the way that we will use what God has entrusted to us. And there is a way in which you can use your riches, your treasure, your relationships, your possessions, your house, your clothes. There's a way that you can use those things, your job, your career, whatever treasure is to you, there's a way that you can use it which only serves the day today. It doesn't make any difference for eternity, doesn't do any good, doesn't accomplish any encouragement in anyone's life, doesn't meet any needs, doesn't help. There is a way to use treasure in a way that you're only using it for today. And then there is a way to use treasure in a way that brings about reward for all of eternity. So that's simply what he's saying. It's kind of an easy thing to see in this passage. Three ideas that we'll tackle this morning. First, where do we store our treasure? Where do we store our treasure? The second thing is, how will we see our treasure? How will we see it? Where will we store it? How will we see it? And who will we serve with it? So three ideas. Where do we store it? How do we see it? And who will we serve with it? So let's start with the first one. Where do we store our treasure? And Jesus is not saying that you should not have treasure. In fact, the implication is that we do have treasure. Lay not up for yourselves treasures. But, verse 20, lay up for yourselves treasures. And so he says, he's not saying don't have it. He's not saying it's wrong to have it. What he is saying is, you that have treasure, use your treasure in a way that you are storing it for eternity instead of using treasure in a way that you are simply serving and meeting the need today. And the question is, why? Why use our treasure in a way for eternity and not use our treasure for the day today? And it's quite simple, because of the susceptibility of treasure on earth. He uses three ideas. He says, where moth and where rust and where thieves come into our house or sneak into our bank accounts or creep into our hearts or relationships and thereby corrupt or defile our treasure. So he says, don't store treasure here, because in storing treasure here, there is a way in which you lose your treasure. There is a way that you can store treasure here, and it is not safe to store the treasure that way, right? Where moths can get into your clothes, they can eat clothes, then you put the shirt on that you so loved, and it's got holes in your shirt because it had been hanging in your closet for 6 months and you forgot that it was in the back, you know, and you pull it out, like, well, how did it get a hole in it, right? There's a way in which you can lose the treasure that you have here because it is defiled or it's corrupted or it's simply lost. It's destroyed in some way. Moths eat away at your treasure. Rust will corrode away those precious metals or those precious treasures. Or even worse, thieves come in and take away your treasures. Anybody ever had their house broken into or car broken into? Remember that sense of like violation that you felt at that moment when your house was broken into and they took your stuff? And there was that sense of like somebody came into your living area and they took your stuff, right? And this is the way that living for treasure, it leads us to this point. We're not trustworthy of anybody. We're keeping and hoarding and hiding. And what's it doing? It's simply the treasure, as we keep and hoard and hide, it's evaporating in our hands. We're losing it. Try as much as you want, but you're losing it. And you're trying to keep and trying to and hide and hoard. And what are you doing? You're losing the treasure at the same time. Everything you own right now is in the process of being moved toward a garage sale. Think about it. Everything you have right now is in the process of being put up for an estate sale one day. Everything you own, that's the direction it's moving. That's the way it's going. You're like, no, my kids are really going to love this stuff when I'm gone. And I'm like, no, my kids, they're going to sell all my stuff when I'm gone. They'll be like, yeah, I don't know why Dad was collecting these things. Sell it for $5. So I'm looking for eternity. I'm like, do you know what that was worth? You know, I'm haunting my children if they sell my stuff for $5. Everything you have is it's in process of being moved. It's either the garage sale or it's the dump. It's one of the two things. That's it. Everything you have is being moved that way. He says, so there's a way to have and to hold and to hide in which you're trying to protect it and you're trying to keep it, but you can't really keep it in the end because in the end, it's fleeting. It's temporary at best. But there is a place that you're going to put your treasure where it is most secure. And that's what Jesus says. There's a way to have your treasure here, and if you keep treasure here, it will be susceptible. But there is a way to put your treasure someplace where it will be secure, and it's secure for eternity, and that's verse number 20. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Why in heaven versus the earth? Here's why. Because there's no moths in heaven. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Those little creatures, no insects in heaven. I think that's what that means. No creepy crawly things in heaven, right? Because there's no moths in heaven. There's no rust. There's no corruption in heaven. There's no thieves in heaven. No one's coming in to break or affect or destroy or ruin it. You say, well, hold on, Pastor, why in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount does Jesus pull the car to the side of the road and start having a conversation about treasure? Well, the next verse tells us, because this isn't really about your treasure. This is really about your heart. This is what he says in verse 20. For where your treasure is, read that last phrase with me, would you? Let's read. There will your heart be also. Because Jesus is not after your treasure. If you own a cattle on a thousand hill and you own the hill that those cattle graze on, your treasure, my treasure, he doesn't need. Wait, this isn't a conversation about your treasure. This is a conversation about your heart. Because wherever your treasure is, whatever you see as treasure, whatever you value as supreme, whatever you make as the ultimate worth in life, that treasure is where your heart will also be. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So we see the susceptibility of earth, we see the security of heaven, but most importantly on this first one, we see the struggle for your heart. The struggle for your heart. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus tells a story about a man who is very wealthy. In fact, he's so wealthy that he has an overflow of crops, and he doesn't know what to do with all these crops. And so he goes and he sets out to build bigger barns. He uses his increase from the crops to build himself bigger barns so he can put more crops in the barns. This is like renting a storage unit because you can't fit all your stuff in your garage because your garage is already filled with stuff. Don't act like I don't know some of you. I got so much stuff in the garage, I don't have to put the rest of my stuff. If your garage is full of stuff, you got too much stuff. Get rid of stuff, right? And so this guy's got, I got so much stuff, where did I put it? Build a new barn in the back. I want to put more stuff back there. And Jesus says, in this story, Jesus says, and little did he know that night God would demand an answer from his life. And the man stands in front of God. The Lord comes and visits him. And that night God says to the man, moreover, thy soul is required of thee. And the man stands in front of God and he goes, yeah, but I got barns and I got crops and I got more barns and I got more crops. I got more stuff than everybody and I got more barns than everybody. Look, I'm storing, I'm hiding, I'm hoarding, I'm protecting. And Jesus says, you should have been rich toward God. You should have been rich toward God. Instead of being rich toward the earth, instead of amassing and hoarding and hiding and keeping, you should have been rich toward God. Because what did all the amassing, what did all the keeping, what did all the investing, what did all the barn building, what did all the crop getting, what good did it do you now when you stand in front of God? A woe to the man who, even though he gains the whole world, if he should lose his soul, in the end, he is lost. You see, all the getting you can get isn't good enough if you lose your soul in the end. You should have been rich toward God. That's what Jesus is saying here. Oh, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What you see as treasure. Hear me, it's a very simple principle. What you see as treasure, what you value most, what's number one. I don't care if it's actual money. I don't care if it's gold, if it's diamonds, if it's jewels, if it's your career. All the ladies were like, diamonds, jewels. We like those things. Keep preaching on that, Pastor. If it's relationships, if it's career, if it's your spouse, if it's him, if it's her, if it's this, if it's your tradition, if it's whatever you value as most supreme, that is treasure to you. And you say, this right here is what I want to get and I want to hoard and I want to protect. And Jesus comes and he breaks that down. And he says, you don't realize that this is where your heart is going. Is that you see this as treasure, and because you see this as treasure, your heart is rich toward that. But your heart should have been rich toward God. You should have saw God as treasure. You should have saw God as supreme. You should have saw God alone as worthy of all your worship. Not these temporary, passing, rusting, corroding, fading away, can be taken away in a moment from you things. What do you have? I asked in a school class there last hour. What do you have that you cannot lose before the end of the day? What do you really own that cannot be taken away before the end of the day today? Even no amount of money, no house, no possessions, all these things, even relationships. You can lose all these things before the end of the day today. But there is one thing you cannot lose before the end of the day, and that is simply your relationship with God Almighty. He alone changes not. He alone does not move. He alone is not adjust. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is not altered. God is not moved. God is not adjusted in one way. Be rich toward God, because God alone is the only thing that lasts for eternity. This is what Jesus is saying in Luke 12. You should have been rich to God, because now your soul is demanded of you this night. It is imperative that the disciples of Christ, it is imperative that we as believers of Christ store our treasure in a place that leads our hearts to God, not to this earth. It's imperative that we as the disciples of Christ and as the believers of Christ, store our treasures in a place that lead our hearts to God, not our hearts to the things of this earth. So can I ask you a question this morning? What is your treasure? What is your treasure? Money, possessions, business, career, relationship, spouse, kids, parents. What do you value as most supreme? Like, if I don't get this, or if this changes, or if this moves, or if this were to ever be different, if this happens, then I don't even know what I would do with my life. That is your treasure. Whatever that answer is, that is what you see as treasure. That's what you see as most important. And whatever that is an indication of where your heart has gone. So here's my question. Based on what your treasure is your heart secure? Or is your heart susceptible? Based on what you see as treasure, based on what you say is supreme and most important, is your heart secure or is your heart susceptible? And I think also, just drilling down into that idea, we need to make sure we have the distinction and the understanding of what is real and what is permanent. We need to make sure we have the understanding of what is fake and what is temporary versus what is real and what is permanent. You see, the world would have you to believe that all these fleeting treasures, possessions or money or wealth or cars or houses, that these are the things that really matter. But the Bible says, no, they don't matter. And the reason all these things, cars and houses and possessions and treasures, the reasons why they don't matter is because they aren't permanent. They're fleeting. They're always leaving. They're always in flux. It's always adjusting. It's always moving. There's no eternality about them at all. There's nothing real or substantial about them. The greatest reality in all the world are only the things that will not pass away. The things of this world, they pass away. That's what John says. That's what Peter says. That's what John in Revelation says. This world, it is passing away. It is not permanent. It is not ultimate. It is not supreme. It is not the top. It is not treasure at all. It's fool's gold is what it is. It's fool's gold. If you really think that that boat or that house or that car or those shoes or those clothes or those rings or that job or that career, if you really, really believe, if we really root our heart on that thing and the getting of it and the gaining of it, then in the end we will lose what really matters most, and what really matters most is our soul and our relationship with God. You say, so what? How do I solve that problem, Pastor? It's easy. Move bank accounts. Move bank accounts. And I'm not talking about Chase to U.S. Bank, okay? Some of you are like, what's wrong with my bank? Yeah. I'm speaking in spiritual terms. Move bank accounts. Where the heart, where the treasure is, there the heart goes. Where the treasure is, there the heart goes. So what I'm saying, I'm going to be very, very, very practical. Very practical. Here's what I'm saying. Give to the cause of Christ. Give to missions. Give to the church. Give to those in need. Give to the Greater Things Project. Give because it's better to give than to receive. Give to be an encouragement. I received that this past week. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to say his name because he's in the room, but he really encouraged my heart. The giving spirit that he has as he gave to my family and myself, the giving spirit he has, it uplifted my family in an amazing, amazing way. There's a give to need, give to encourage, give because it's just good to give. Give to remind yourself that when you give, you are most like God in giving. Because God gave us His Son. So it's just very, very, very simply. Reach into your pocket, grab your cash, and give it to somebody in need. Yeah, but I don't know what they'll do with it. It doesn't matter. Just give it. Who cares what they do with it? They'll answer to God for what they did with it. You will answer to God because you hoarded it. Just give it. The Bible says, give to everyone that asketh of thee. The Bible says that if you can do good, and that if you do not do good and it is in your power to do good, that is actually sin if you can do good and you do not do good because you want to withhold the good that you could have done. Sometimes we only think of sin in the sense of committing of something. The doing of a thing is sin. But there's two kinds of sin. There's the committing of sin, sins of commission, but there's also sins of omission, things that we omitted from our lives, things that we should have done but didn't do. Two kinds of sin. Sin of commission, things we actually do, things we actually said, places we actually went, things we actually touched. But there's also sins of omission, when we put our hands in our pocket, turned away, and we could have helped, could have sang, could have promoted, could have loved, could have encouraged, but instead we decided not to do it. The Bible says that is a sin of omission, which, by the way, is also a sin. Oh, we got quiet on that one. So just very practically, here's what I'm saying. How do we make sure our treasure is being stored for eternity? Here it is, the best, most important way. Give. The world says keep. The world says hoard. The world says, no, you can't give to people. You can't just give to random people. They're always going to come ask you. If you give to them, they're going to keep asking you for more. Just give. Give. Because you can't keep it anyway. So give. Invest. Invest your time in the things of God. Invest your time in the things of God. Build relationships with the people of God. Teach your family and your friends about the things of God. The greatest way you can lay up family is not here on earth. The greatest way you can lay up family is making sure that your family and your friends and your coworkers know and hear the gospel, and that you pray for them to come to a saving knowledge of the gospel, thus preserving them for eternity and laying up for yourselves family in heaven, because family in heaven never departs. You see how we think about these things? We think about these things so backwards. We're like, I don't want to talk to my family about heaven because if I do, they won't let me come to the birthday parties anymore. No. Talk to your family about heaven so that they can enjoy the eternal celebration with God in the day that never ends, which is eternity in heaven. Lay up treasures there, because there is secure. That's what Jesus is saying. So. Where will we store? You can either store here or you can store there. Number two, what will we see? Look at verse 23. Verse 22, rather, I'm sorry. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Very, very easy idea. You say, well, I thought we were talking about hearts. Now why are we talking about eyes? He's not talking about hearts, and he's not talking about eyes. He is talking about hearts, not talking about eyes, but he's using eyes as a way to help us understand how they tint our heart. So what we see, he says, if you take all the light and the scene of light in this room, it helps you to navigate through the room. But if you blacked out the windows and if you dimmed some lights, it would be a little more difficult for us to navigate the room. You'd stub your toe, you bump into somebody. If you dimmed the lights all the way so that there is no light in here at all and it is completely dark, and then we all try to stand up and make our way to the back, imagine how difficult that would be. We'd be hitting everybody, running over everybody, busting our toe or knee on the pew in front of us. We wouldn't be able to get out. Why? Because our eyes would be darkened. So it's hard to know where to go when the eyes are darkened. This is what he's saying. And if your eyes are dark, how dark is the darkness that is in you? He's drawing this contrast. He's not talking about your eyes. He's talking about your heart. He's saying you should be really careful to just seeing treasure as these temporary things. Because if you see treasure only as gold or a lot of money in the bank account or that car or that house, then you will be making decisions. You will go certain direction because you see that as treasure. And if you think that it is treasure and you move toward it, then when you find out and you arrive at the destination, you'll go, I thought this was treasure. It looked like treasure from way over there, but now that I'm here, it's not treasure at all. So he's saying, be very careful that your vision is intended, that your decision making is in the light, not in the darkness. Because if your eye isn't working, then there's no light coming in and you can't get to where you need to be. So be very careful how you see things. Let me put it another way for you. It's quite possible that your treasure or what you do treasure has a particular effect in blinding you, spiritually speaking. What you treasure or what you see as treasure has a particular effect of blinding you. So as you stand here and you look out onto your life and you think, treasure means this career, then as you think through your career and as you think through the getting of your career and the growing of your career and the climbing of the ladder and the getting to the destination and the being the CFO as you and the CEO and the top dog and getting the high-rise office, as you see that as treasure, then you will begin to make decisions with your body that get you to that place because that's what you see as treasure. And you should be very careful because when you get there, you're going to take off the glasses and you're going to realize that this was no treasure at all, but that it was fool's gold. That you got there and you went, this wasn't what I thought it was going to be. Why? Well, how did I get here? Well, way back here, you put on some glasses that tinted your vision so that way you couldn't see it for what it really was. So if your eyes are darkened, you should be really careful about making decisions. Because we don't want to make decisions in the dark. We want to make decisions in the light so that we don't stub our toe on the way out. Do you understand the illustration? Did I complicate the illustration or did I help? Just don't tell me the truth on that. When it comes to what you treasure, here's what you think. When it comes to what you treasure, what you value, what you see as supreme, when it comes to that, you always think you're doing the right thing because it's getting you closer to your treasure. That's what he's saying. When it comes to what you treasure, whatever you start doing in order to get that treasure, you always think it's the right thing to do because it's getting you closer to treasure. And if it gets me closer to treasure, then it must be right. But it's possible to be the CEO and lose your integrity along the way. It's possible to have the top office but not know your family. It's possible to gain the whole world but lose your soul. It's possible to get the promotion but lose your kids. And if you lose your kids for the sake of the promotion, you've lost real treasure. And you've gained fool's gold. Can I talk to the men for just a second? Let me talk to the men for a second. You know what your boys need? They need to see manhood displayed. Like real manhood displayed. Like they need to see a gentleman open the door for a lady. That's what they need to see. They need to see a man who knows how to be both tough at times and disciplined, but they also need to see a man who knows how to be tender and emotional and compassionate at the same time. Your young men need to see a man. You know what your daughters need? They need to know what a real man acts like. And what a real man acts like is a real man opens the door. A real man lets her walk on the inside of the curb, not the outside. I was teaching Elena that the other day. We're walking around. I said, you're on the wrong side of the street. Stand over here. And she said, there's not a wrong side. I said, you're on the wrong side of the street. I said, ladies don't walk next to the curb. Do you know why? And she's like, no, why? I said, if a car comes speeding down here, hits a puddle or some mud or some grass, throws it, it's supposed to get on me, not on you. You're too beautiful to have any dirt on you. So we go in the restaurant, we eat, and we come out, and I'm on the wrong side, and she's like, ahem. You're on the wrong side, Dad. I'm sorry. It's been my experience. It's been my experience. I've watched dads who've worked so hard to give their baby girl those $150 pair of jeans. They worked 120 hours to get that job so they could buy all these things for this baby girl, and she grew up absent love, absent real manhood, absent real understanding of what a man does and how a man acts and how a man provides and how a man does what he says and how he's kind with his words and how he's not abusive or how he's not lording over her all the time. And she grew up not knowing that, and she clamored for love and understanding from all these places only to have her heart broken time and time and time and time again. And I watched little girls grow up whose dads passed on promotions because they wanted to spend time on vacation. And he taught her, and he loved her, and he cuddled her, and he kissed her, and he held her hand. And no, she didn't have all the material things of this world, but she knew who she was in Christ. And she could spot those jokers coming a mile away. And they're always jokers, let me tell you. They're always jokers. They know what to say. They know how smooth to be. They know how to act. They know how to look. And oh, man. And she, without all the material things, she could see them coming a mile away. The passage is pulling us to see what is really important. And let me tell you, Dad, what's most important is her. And what's most important is him. And let me tell you, Mom, what's most important are those kids. Let me tell you, husband, the wife is most important. And wife, see that you love your husband also, because that is what real treasure really is. And use all your gifting and use all your working and use all your education and use all your knowledge. And please climb as high as you can in the company and then give to the church in an amazing way. But do not do that and risk and lose your family. It's tinted vision. It's tinted vision. That's what he's saying. Don't put those lenses on and think that that is what real treasure is. Because it's fool's gold. And that treasure, what you see as treasure, has a way of blinding you. Has a way of blinding you. She doesn't want your money. She wants you. Your kids don't need more toys. They need you. She doesn't need a bigger house. She needs you to be in the house. See real eternal treasure for what it is. And see fool's gold as fool's gold. You can get it in the end, but you won't like it once you got it. Who will we serve? That's verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will love the one and hate the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and man. Can I help you understand that verse just like very, very simply and practically? You can't cheers for the Clippers and the Lakers at the same time. That's what he's saying. You can't cheer for both. You got to pick one. You can't cheer for UCLA and USC. You got to pick one. It's not, whoa, let's not talk it out in church. He's saying you can't draw a line in your life and say, well, this is how I am here, and this is how I am there, and this is what I act like at church, and this is what I act like. No, you can't do that. You cannot serve both. You cannot get both. You cannot win in both. That's what he's saying. You cannot serve God and man. Anything that your soul says, this is treasure, what your soul is calling you to do is give everything up in order to get it. And that's what all earthly treasure does. Earthly treasure says you have to give up all these things in order to get it. But there is a treasure, which is eternal, which gave everything up in order to get you. See, there's an earthly treasure that says, says, give everything up in order to get this treasure, but you get it and you're like, this is fool's gold, it's not even real treasure. But then there is a real treasure, an eternal treasure, who this eternal treasure gave up everything. He left heaven, he came to earth, he lived and died, was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. Then he went to the cross and he suffered beyond all reasonable, understandable anguish. He suffered in ways that none of us could ever possibly wrap our minds around. And then they laid him in a borrowed tomb. And then he got up out of the tomb and he walked out. And he said, listen, I am the only treasure who has lost all worth, who's lost all value, who's given up everything in order to win you. The Bible says in Hebrews 12 that he endured the cross, that he despised the shame. Why? So that he could win joy. Hold on. Why would he endure cross, despise shame, and then the next phrase, it would be so he could get joy. Do you know why? Do you know what Jesus treasures? Do you know what makes Jesus happy? Do you know what brings Jesus joy? You do. You are his treasure. And what Jesus says is, you're my treasure, and I want to show you how much I treasure you. And I'm going to leave the comforts of heaven, and I'm going to come to earth, and I'm going to live 33 and a half years. I'm going to die on the cross, and then I'm going to raise from the dead, because this is what you mean to me. This is how I value you. This is how much you bring me joy. This is how much I love you. This is how much I want to serve you. I give you. You are my treasure. You are my ultimate. And there has never been an earthly treasure, relationship, career, job, house, car, that has ever served you the way that Christ served you. So then what he asks is this, now choose you this day who you will serve. There's never been a treasure to serve you the way that Christ, the ultimate treasure, has served you. All the other treasures say, you have to give up, you have to lay it down, you have to do all these things in order to get it, but then you get it and it's fool's gold. But the real eternal treasure says, no, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's grace, it's God's grace that brings us into fellowship with him. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today, oh, that today would be the day of your salvation, that you would see him as the eternal treasure that your heart so desperately needs, that you would see the way that he treasured you in the leaving of heaven, the coming to earth, the dying on the cross, and then the raising from the dead in order to win you to himself. He counts you as his joy. He counts you as his treasure. You are treasure to him. So will you serve him? Will you live for him? Will you fall in love with him? Will you grow closer to him? Will you walk in the way that he asks you and calls you to walk? Will you take the blinders of this world off? And will you see this world for fool's gold? And will you pursue real treasure? Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's really not a conversation about your money. It's really not a conversation about your career. It's really not a conversation about any of those things. It's really a conversation about your heart. It's a conversation about your heart. Where is your heart this morning? Would you stand with me for prayer? All right, Heavenly Father, we thank you.